The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I absolutely love old video games, but I didn't have anyone to play with. So I decided to start the Super Switch Club.
That's right.
A podcast dedicated to discussing and reliving the nostalgia of retro video games that are also on the Nintendo Online Virtual Library.
Relang.
Welcome to the RPG Years, your one-stop shop for all detective, intrigue, and weird spacemen with their face all curled up who are extremely rich podcasts. Yes, everybody. Oh, I know. It's been a little while, unintentionally. Kind of had a few things going on recently, like my wife got sick, I got sick, my kids got sick, Scott got sick, I got sick, wife got sick, Scott got sick. And yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind ride. And then Scott went to Vegas and got a tattoo on his face. It's been crazy. And if you're wondering why I'm bringing Scott into my excuses, is because for at least two of the weeks, I think, I'd kind of banked on doing the second part of the Chrono Cross review, which I'm pretty convinced at this point, after going over the docs so many times, it's going to be a three-parter, because we've got to cover the story, and that is going to be a long episode. There's a lot that happens in that game. So, yes. But yeah, just things for me and Scott have just been... It's actually becoming almost a comical joke between the two of us now. It's always just like, we're going to do it Friday. Yeah, Friday. Friday. Yeah, Friday. 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 And every Friday, one of us is like, oh, shit. It's not just Scott. It's me as well. Like, twice I've had to bail on him because of work. He's had to bail on me a few times. And then, like I said, a couple of the times I was relying on the fact that I didn't have time to do anything other than record with Scott, and it didn't happen. So I was just like, oh shit, I haven't got an episode now for the week. I should probably just record a short thing and say no episode this week. But even that is sometimes a struggle at the moment. I'm very, very busy with work. And yeah, I don't know what's happened the last month. Everyone keeps getting sick constantly. Like my eldest daughter is now currently sick and is having to have penicillin for scarlet fever. Who fucking thought scarlet fever was still a thing? It's just like, you kind of think, oh yeah, that was, you know, that's like a Victorian disease, isn't it? But no, according to my wife, it's still something that happens, but because we've got penicillin, no one dies from it anymore, so no one talks about it. But yeah, you know, she's fine. She's had like a tiny cough, and then she got some weird spots on her tongue, which was the scarlet fever thing. So you give her penicillin and it's fine. You know, you leave it for a couple of weeks and your child ends up in hospital. But thankfully my daughter's okay. And like I said, before that, my wife got sick, which means I have to look after kids, and I got sick. It's just been absolutely fucking crazy. And oh yeah, I know I just swore, and I know I swear a lot. You know, I have some episodes where I swear a lot. I have some episodes where I don't swear that much. This, I will say, because of Disco Elysium, well, this is obviously, this episode is going to be dedicated mostly to the first part the first segment of Disco Elysium as for the RPG Club. I'm probably going to swear a lot in this episode. I just want to just be prepared for that, okay? I'm not the sort of person who bleeps myself because it's just that takes so much time with editing. I can do it, and I have done it before with stuff, but no, it takes a lot of time to edit out bleeps. exploitive deletives. But yeah, it's this game, you know, I'm not going to be swearing about the game in a bad way. I'm actually really, really enjoying it, but I'll get into that. But there's a certain character I'm going to be talking about called Kuno, and Kuno swears a lot, and I'm going to want to just be doing impressions of Kuno the whole time because I think he's been my favourite character so far. So many people complained about it. I'll get into it when I get into the club. But yeah, what I will say is that I can't remember if I'd spoke about this before, but I have beaten the seventh saga. Oh yeah. Oh yes. I was, I grinded a lot. I got myself into the high 40s and, yeah, as is with this game, you know, the random encounters are actually harder than the bosses. Apart from the couple of bosses which are scripted badly. But yeah, it's I really enjoyed my time with it. It was really, really hard, and I would say it's a good experience. Now, as far as the $700 saga, where we're trying to raise $700 for Motor Neurone Disease Association. You know, this is our fill-in because Twitter or X, whatever it's called nowadays, broke the bot for the Materia lockdown. So we came up with this. So myself and Frost, for every person who beats the seventh saga, including ourselves, are going to donate $70 for every person who beats the game and lets us know about it in our Discord, okay? So you have to join the Discord. So links are below. Come join the Discord. I did make an announcement on Blue Sky. I'm on Blue Sky now, by the way. If anyone wants friends codes, I've got loads of them. I've only got like 13 followers. But I'm trying my best. It's actually decent. It really reminds me of like the early days of Twitter. So I'm kind of enjoying it. You know, I've tried some of the other things like Mastodon and stuff. I couldn't get into it, but Blue Sky's doing me all right so far. But yeah, so far, Arobi has finished. I've finished. Deesa, she finished just a couple of days ago. Fantastic work, everyone. Frost has finished. Calderanus has finished. Ben from Dagoon Effect has finished. And Skelly has finished. So that's $70 for each of those. And also Jameson, Tin Smasher, JS, Mike from Mike's Unedited Let's Plays have all got the first rune. I know Pete from Attack on Final Fantasy started playing, but I'm not sure if he's got the first rune. And Red Knight from Twitter, Twitch, all those sorts of things, he's also going to be starting playing shortly, I believe. So we are currently standing at $530. Okay, so we are getting close now. You know, we are $170 away from reaching our total. So please, please, if you think you can get the first rune, it doesn't take long, to be honest with you. I'd say it's probably like half an hour to an hour of gameplay. Just grind your character up to about level 12 and then start playing the game. And you should get the first rune without any problems. But yeah, if you want to try and get the first rune, make me and Frost pay $10 on your behalf to the Motor Neurone Disease Association, then, you know, join in and join the Discord and let us know that you've done that. Please, please, please. And also, if you want to donate yourself, I think Skelly donated, he donated after he finished his run. That donation doesn't go towards the $700, okay? That is just myself and Frost. So Skelly has actually pushed us to the point where we're now over $700 if we make it our total. And this has to be done by the end of the year. So I am going to be preparing the review for that, and I'll probably prepare it to come out in January. Obviously, I've still got reviews for Final Fantasy XII and Breath of Fire 3 in the works, and I've got some lovely helpers now, some people in the Discord. I call them my RPG Secret Santas. They have joined me in trying to prep out some review episodes so that I can be more efficient with my life. I've got so much going on and so much podcasting to do. So I'm very, very grateful for those people. You know who you are. I love you guys. You guys are the best. So thank you very much for stepping in to help me out with these reviews. Really, really appreciate it. But yeah, fun game. Can't wait to talk about it. It's worth playing, to be honest with you, just for the enemy sprites. The enemy sprites were amazing. The end boss design was fantastic. End boss had Chrono Cross mechanics, but I'll get into that with the review. Yep, other than that, you know, I need to catch up on Skies of Arcadia, and I need to catch up on JS's Crazy Clown Party Club, where everyone's playing Final Fantasy VI. You should be finishing segment 3 of that now. I'm hoping to polish off segment 1 this week, and then I'll do a review. I'll do a RPG episode on segment 1 of Final Fantasy VI next week. So, in case you haven't clocked on with the Final Fantasy VI club that's currently happening, I know, so many clubs, people, so little time. Yeah, if you haven't caught up with the Final Fantasy VI club, segment 1 was due ages ago, and it was to get to the scenario split and complete Locke's scenario. Okay, so segment 2 was complete Zozo, and segment 3 is complete the sealed cave, or you know, get through the sealed gate kind of thing. so that's where you should be at. But I'm going to be going over the scenario split and Locke's scenario. Now with the pixel remaster, this really doesn't take very long. I think Frost managed to finish segment 3, and he's only played 7 hours of the game in total. So you know, if you know the game well enough, you can smash through it. So if you want to join in, you can still do that. And next week I'll be talking about segment 1. Of Final Fantasy VI, or JS's Crazy Clown Posse, as we like to call it. Anyway, let's get into the crux of it, shall we? Let's talk disco. It's disco time, people. Oh yes, disco, disco, disco. It is disco time. Disco Elysium. This is going to be very, very difficult to talk about. And I'm literally only going to be able to talk about it from my experience of the game. Which, you know, it sounds absolutely bonkers. I'm just gonna get my Switch out. just so that I can make sure I'm giving you guys the right information. Because this game is crazy. Absolutely crazy. And it's very granular in the way you can set up your character. So first of all, the sprite work in this game is amazing. I absolutely bloody love it. Okay? It's really kind of dark and gritty, and kind of, it feels like very weirdly like now, but also post-apocalyptic is kind of where they're going for. Like, they keep talking about places, and like, I think this is like set way, way, way in the future, but, or possibly in like some sort of alternative steampunk dimension, because like the cars that they have are really weird in comparison to what we have now, and the technology, it's just, I haven't really grasped where I am supposed to be, but you kind of get the impression that it's not overly important. It's more of the journey of your character in kind of trying to figure out who they are and figure out this murder that's happened, okay? So it's crazy. The first thing you get to do is you get to set up your character, and they give you like pre-builds, basically. I can't remember what they were. But, or you could build your own. So I was just like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to go in and I'm going to build my own, right? So you get to put certain points into intellect, psyche, physique, and motorix. This is fucking motorix. So I was a bit like, okay. why motorix? Motorix, and then it gave you like a brief description of what it was. So obviously, intellect is kind of how your brain works in order to try and solve things. And I think you could only put a maximum of 5 into each one, or 6. I think it's 5. Hang on, no, I can't bother with that. So you could do like 3, 3, 3, 3 if you want, or some. You know, you can really balance it out. So I kind of went with I wanted to be a clever character. I knew this was going to be a detective thing, so I didn't want my character to be like struggling to figure out clues, and I had no idea how this was going to work. And then also his psyche, I kind of wanted him to be strong psychological person. I didn't want him to be weak, so I gave him 3 points into psyche. And then motorix, I gave him 4, because motorix sounded like how you kind of like your body and stuff. And I feel pretty flexible nowadays. Now I've been doing calisthenics, so I was just like, yeah, I'm going to put a lot of things into that. This didn't leave a lot for physique. So I put 1 into physique. And like some of these some of these categories that are that you can put like you can then put separate points into. So like you have to then give like one of these categories a gold star, basically, to be like, this is going to be something that my character specializes in. And I went with this thing called in Psyche called the Inland Empire, which is like your hunches and gut feelings and then dreams in waking life. I was a bit like, what? And this is and it was describes it as call for dreamers, paraneutral investigators, mental creators. Inland Empire is unfiltered wellspring of imagination, emotion, and foreboding. It enables you to grope your way through invisible dimensions of reality, gaining an insight into that which sight can't see. What's really going? What do these enactic riddles mean for the world fate? At high levels, Inland Empire animates the inanimates. I can't say that word. You'll have conversations with your clothing, conversations that may change the course of the investigation if you're not thrown in the loony bin first. With low Inland Empire, however, you'll be void of imagination and character, and then how will you shape the cosmos? And I was just like, yeah, this sounds like me. I'm going to go for this. This is going to be my specialty. So I starred that one. And I am so glad I did. You know, having conversations with your necktie in this game is a joy. I am extremely worried, though, because my physique is so low that I worried if there's going to be fights or anything in this game, which I haven't had yet, that I'm going to get absolutely battered. But yeah, that's how I went for it. And then the game begins. And like these little things, right? So they're all different, basically, like almost like rolls of the dice. Imagine it like Dungeons and Dragons. So certain things just happen if your skill's high enough. And then other things happen where it's kind of like it gives you a percentage if this is going to succeed. So like I said, this Inland Empire thing just keeps butting into conversations or things that I'm looking at and then giving me this like really weird alternative perspective on things, and I love it. It's so funny. And then some of the other ones, like there's a thing, and I'll get into that, but yeah, some of the other ones are just to do with, like, you know, logic, how to work things out, things that seem simple, drama, which is kind of like how you interact with people and like your lying skills and stuff. Really, really in-depth character system. So I'm gonna have to just kind of slowly build all these things up. I put a lot of effort into conceptualization, because there's a big blank wall and it wants a really high conceptualization skill to be able to interact with it. So I'm just like, okay, I'm intrigued enough that I'm going to level up this fucker. And then as you go around the game, you also collect clothing. And this is the funny thing as well, because I didn't realize, I was just like picking, because you start off pretty much naked, and I was picking up all the clothing and just putting them on as I found them. And then there was a bit where like your coat is hanging off of like this railing thing and you have to jump over a wall. And this is like the only time I died, was that I had Savior Farry, which is like sneak under whatever that is. Sneak under the nose is stun with immense punch. It's just like, whatever it is. But yeah, that thing was my roll, okay? And it had really low percentage of making this jump. And I did it anyway, and I failed, and I died. Like, I didn't even die from the jump. Like, the character was too weak to do the jump. He stopped just before he was about to do it, then had a heart attack and died. And I was just like, probably that's because I have such a low physique that I had a really bad heart attack. And I was just like, oh, fuck. But then I was sort of like, I thought, oh, okay, I'll have to come back to this later. There must be another way around. And then when I picked up another bit of clothing, I noticed the clothing all had plus and minuses for certain stats. And I was just like, my shoes are too high-heeled. They're like, they've got this like big, they're like green snake-skinned shoes. And it's got a minus one to Savior Farry because the heels are ridiculously high. And then my trousers as well are tight around the thighs. So it gave me minus one. So I took off my shoes, I took off my trousers, and he did the jump. I was just like, yes, I'm wearing these ridiculous big rubber gloves. It's just like my character looks absolutely ridiculous in his Y-front pants. And I did the jump, and it was so funny. I was like, oh my God, yes, I love this game so much. This is everything I want. So hang on. So first of all, yeah, you have this weird conversation with the cosmos, which didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I wonder if I do a replay of the game, if it will make more sense to me then. But this time it was just like, I couldn't contemplate what was going on. It was mentioning places. I had no idea what it was and things. And then you just wake up naked in a trashed hotel room. No, you got your wife fronts on, but you wake up in this absolutely trashed hotel room and you kind of walk around it and then start interacting with things. This game really reminds me of like an old school point and click adventure. So I don't know how many people are familiar with this. I used to love games like Broken Sword, Simon the Sorcerer, you know, those sorts of games. Monkey Island. Oh, God, Monkey Island. The third Monkey Island. Absolutely amazing. You know, I know everyone loves the first two the most, but yeah, the third one for me was like an absolute eye-opening of a game. And Broken Sword too. Oh, though I have so much nostalgia for those games. They are incredible. And yeah, just absolutely brilliant. And yeah, so this really reminds me of that, but in a modern style. So instead of moving a mouse around the screen to interact with things, you kind of get to move your character around screen, hover over things, like you get this little like outline appears, and you can interact with things. And again, what I didn't realise is depending on what skills you've got, depends on if you can see certain things or not. So the first thing where I kind of encountered this was there was a hole in the window. Okay, I'm missing it and I'm missing my shoe. And then your character goes into this like weird sort of like dreamlike state where he starts like Columboing what's going on. It's just like the glass is not broken on the inside, it's broken on the outside, which means there was a projectile thrown at it. What? And then it's like, could it have been a chair? No, the hole is too small. And then it's just like, it's too small to be this. And then it's just like, in the end, he's just like, so I must have been really drunk and thrown my shoe out the window. And then you start to realise that your character doesn't know who he is. He's just been on this huge bender, like God knows how long for. He knows he's a detective, but that's it. He can't remember his name. Can't remember where he come from. It's like full-blown amnesia. Now, we're used to this from Final Fantasy games, okay? But they lean in hard on this amnesia. And even like the people that you interact with, when they realise you've got amnesia, are just like, really? You're playing that card? It's just like, no one believes you. It's just like, it's just really, really, really funny. And yeah, so you have to sort of walk around the apartment, find your different bits of clothing. You know, one of your shoes is outside. I actually missed as well. I missed the shirt. Harry's got like a white shirt, you know, like just a shirt, you know, shirt and tie shirt. I missed it completely. It was hanging up in the bathroom. Yeah, so I managed to get like my trousers. I managed to get some, I think I got a vest from somewhere outside. I don't think it was Harry's vest. But I started wearing a string vest. And then I found the necktie hanging from the ceiling. I remember someone in the Discord saying that their character had a heart attack trying to get down the necktie from the ceiling fan. I didn't. I didn't have any problems with it. So I just love the fact that that is where the game can go at any moment. So you could just randomly die from trying to get some clothing down. And then the necktie, oh my God, the necktie. It's just a magnificent piece of my life. It randomly just interjects and just starts talking to me. It's called Horrific Necktie. And again, the necktie also gives +1 to my Inland Empire stat. And even the description is just like, it's disturbingly vivid. Somehow you feel as if it'd be wrong to take it off. It's your friend now. You will betray it if you change it for some form of boring scarf. And just like, I just love it. I love the necktie when it goes in because it's like, it sounds like Rick Moranis or something. No, not Rick Moranis. Who's the, I always forget his name. He's kind of a famous actor in America. He'd done load of child films. I think he was Iago, the parrot in Aladdin. What are you talking about, Harry? It's just like, it just suddenly just interjects and gives you some absolute fucking nonsense point of view as well. Oh, it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Anyway, so I finally sort of got most of my stuff. Well, I thought I got all the stuff in the room. You know, later on when I came back, I did find my shirt. But I think I was better at finding stuff at that point. And like, it's a bit clunky trying to focus on things. You have to focus on it, push A, and then your character walks over to it. And I tell you what, you may not know this because I'm going to edit it out. I've said the character's name so many times, and I'm trying to really make sure I don't say his name yet, because he doesn't know his name, okay, at this point of the game. He has no idea who he is. So yeah, I leave my room, and I manage to find my way outside onto the balcony, and I find my snake skin shoes, which I'll later take off so I can jump over things. And then I talk to, and I have my first interaction with this woman, and I sort of go through most of it, and I'm getting the feeling that this woman's getting pissed off at me, so I end the conversation. And I think that's important in this game, is to realise when you're either not going to get anywhere or you're possibly going to make things worse for you later on. You kind of have to have that gut feeling that whatever the way you've arranged your stats is not going to work with this character. Okay, this isn't a game where you can just flick through all the options, because I feel like you can ruin stuff for yourself. And I got this impression very early on in the game. So sometimes I just start talking to people and I look at the options and I'm just like, I don't like any of these options. I'm just going to leave this conversation. And then it's just like, then you can come back later on and have a conversation with someone if you feel like you've got something relevant to say to them. And this happened with the lorry driver guy, who I'll get to in a little bit later on. But yeah, go downstairs and you go. I talk to the bar manager, who hates my fucking guts. Apparently, I'd been up all night destroying the place. I owe a ton of money for all the damages that I've caused and for my stay. And then the bartender even, like, he basically waived my damages just as long as I paid my hotel bill. And I was just like, okay, that's weird. But then I haven't got enough money to pay the hotel bill, so I had to run away. And then, again, that was a roll of the dice. I think I had like a 40% chance of running away, and I did it. And he's just like, real mature, you fuck. And it's just like, okay. Yeah, apparently my character had been up all night on an absolute bender. I'm pretty sure he's like addicted to amphetamines, which is only going to come later on from one little bit. But yeah, and it's, yeah, he was up all night listening to disco music. And one of the items I found is a blank cassette tape. And it's kind of like the way it set the challenge up on the blank cassette tape is that I have to record a song onto the cassette tape so I can then do karaoke at the bar in the hotel. I'm just like, if this comes together, I am all for this. That's the impression I've got so far of what I've got to do with this. I haven't achieved whatever I've got to do with the tape yet, but like I say, old school point and click game, okay? Sometimes there's just an item you're going to pick up. You've got no idea why your character's going to pick it up, but it's going to come to fruition right 20 hours into the game. Like Broken Sword, right? Broken Sword 2, actually. Broken Sword 2, in the very first part of the game, there's a tequila bottle and you take a swig, you spit out the worm on the floor and you pick up the worm and put it in your pocket. And throughout the whole game, you start showing people this disgusting worm that you picked up in your pocket. And they're like, oh, that's gross. And they give you shit for it. And then right towards the end of the game, there's a kid in the Caribbean. Like, you start off in France in a burning building and you've got to get out of it. And that's where you find this tequila and this worm is during this burning building bit. And you go through this whole adventure. You fly hard to like 10 different locations around the world. Then you end up in the Caribbean and there's a kid fishing off a dock. And he's like, oh, I really need a worm to help catch a fish. So you give him your tequila worm. And it's just like, it's so funny. And like, the game won't let you leave Paris at the beginning as well until you've picked this thing up. It's just like, oh, I feel like I'm missing something. It's just like, if you haven't picked up the fucking tequila worm, you're not getting out of Paris. But yeah, that's what I mean. This is why it feels like one of those type of games where you have this just obscure puzzle that isn't going to make any sense until way later on. But for some reason, I think I'm going to need this cassette tape. Slide it into my pocket. But anyway, yeah, so the manager tells me I've got to speak to another copper called Kim, who's just standing over in the edge. Yeah, Kim's very, very straight-laced, whereas your character, or my character, you know, I'm trying to make him to be like a very efficient Columbo-style cop, but also I'm trying to reject as much comedy into there as possible. Although, there's like a little menu thing in the menu. Menu in the menu? Would you believe it? Oh yeah, it's a name of unknown, rank unknown. So I don't know what this is. It's like a ranking thing for all the things that you get done in the game. And so I've got Superstar Cop 2, Apocalypse Cop 0, Sorry Cop 2, Boring Cop 3. Aw, man. Apparently I'm 2 points communist, 2 points fascist, 2 point uni-liberal, and 3 points morality. So yeah, I'm in the centre, by the sounds of it. I've got 8 good cop, bad cops, but I've only got 1 for humour. People... Oh, yeah, then it's got my cop stats, but I'll get to that in a bit. But yeah, I've been having a very funny time with the game. I think it's hilarious. But apparently, according to my stats, I'm not a very funny, humorous person. But yeah, Kim joins your party, and he gives you kind of just advice and stuff. And he's very confused by the fact that you don't know who you are. And I think I revealed to him that I'd lost my badge, but I didn't mention that I'd lost my gun to him. He was like, you should report this to the police station. I was like, I'm not fucking reporting this to the police station. There's no way I'm doing that. His car's out the back, and you can get a few items out of his car as well. But so far, I hadn't really found any use for them. And then you sort of, the manager's just like, yeah, go around the back and have a look. The body's hanging out there. It's just like, you should have got him down ages ago. And yeah, we should have done. This body has been hanging here for about a week and is like bloated and started to decay and it stinks. And like, I tried to go close to it and Harry threw up. And then I had to do a whole load of shit just to stop Harry from throwing up. And like, again, I got one of my super cop moments where I saw how a car had smashed the fence. So it like reversed into it and then driven off down towards the docks. And then I got another one where just underneath the body where I worked out that there was like 8 people's footprints on the floor. And like, I was able to work out the size of the people. And like, there was like a child, there was someone who was very heavy. So they assumed that was the person carrying the body. And then, there was someone who like slightly dragged one of their feet, and Kim was like, maybe he's a drummer. I was like, what? Which makes me suspicious, because there is a band. There's a drum kit. It's part of the karaoke setup. And Kim was like, maybe he's a drummer. I'm thinking Kim's a drummer. but yeah, and so yeah, I had these like 2 really cool super cop moments, and then I had this like 3% chance of not throwing up when going close to the body, and I spewed my guts up. So I had to go get some like medicine to try and hold my stomach. And then there was like, be more like Kuno. Kuno? Oh, Kuno. So yeah, lots of people complained about Kuno, saying he's irritating. I think being English and being from England and having actually met children like Kuno, I thought it was hilarious. And also like, I'm very sorry if there are any Scousers who listen to this. Just go play the game and meet Kuno, okay? Kuno is like a Scouse, because he's got a proper Scouse accent. And Scouse is what we say with people come from Liverpool. They've got a Scouser accent. And then, you know, people from, you know, so sometimes it makes sense. You know, I've got an Essex accent. I'm from Essex. Other people have like Yorkshire accents. They're from Yorkshire. And then people from Newcastle are called Geordies. People from Liverpool are called Scousers. People from Birmingham are called Brummies. They've got Brummie accents. You know, it's just like a slight variance in our accents, considering how small our country is. You know, like, we're smaller than most states in America. Most states, everyone in America is the same accent. You know, apart from like the deep south or cowboys. But yeah, it's just really, really funny that it's just like they've chosen this like horrible, nasty little Scouse kid who's off his fucking tits on drugs. It's just like, they're like, he's 12, he's obviously high, and he's just throwing rocks at this dead body. And he refers to himself in the third person. He's like, yeah, I'm fucking Cornel, the Cornel wants to do this, yeah, bastard. Oh, you're trying to fucking touch up the Cornel, you fucking pedo. And it's just like, oh my god. Oh, it's one of those. And like, these children exist in the world, okay, where you can just say anything to them and they will just terrorize you with every single word that came out of their mouths. They have no filter, they have no concern, no moral compass or anything. And then he's like little sisters over the wall or something, egging him on, going, yeah, go on, Cornel, fuck him up. It's just like, oh my god. Every interaction with Kuno has been a moment of joy for me. Just be like, oh my god, I know these children. I've met these children. You know, this isn't something, you know, there's not like millions of Kunos roaming around England terrorizing adults like this. But everyone's met a Kuno, I would like to say, in England. If you haven't, then you've been very lucky. And maybe I've just been very unlucky and I've met too many Kunos in my life. But Kuno fucking busts me up. And, yeah, again, another super cop moment was that your character just really easily worked out that there was this little gap in a bit of wood, and then he moved it and the door opened and I got into Kuno's house. And I assume that's probably like, you know, the game being setting you up, being like, these are the easy things to find. Because without going into Kuno's like hideout, where we had the moment where you see amphetamines, and my Inland Empire is like, sweet, sweet amphetamines. Do you think Kim would notice? And then this is like, then you subtly have to ask Kim about, Kim, do you like to party? It's just like, but you don't say it to Kim. You don't say it to Kim. Well, I didn't anyway. You could have asked Kim if he parties, but I was just like, looks like there's amphetamines here. I was being serious cop, so I think that's why I've got the boring flag for that one. But yeah, you have to go through up a ladder, and then that gets you up onto the roof, and then you can climb up some like debris of some fallen building bits to get you up onto the roof of the hotel, which is where I then had the thing where I found my coat and I did the jump where I had a heart attack and I got my first game over. Whew. Fun times. Anyway, after that, I spent a lot of time wandering around the whole area just collecting things and not really having much luck in continuing the game until I took my pants and my shoes off to make the jump. And then that gets you into the container yard. The ship dockyard, where it looks like there's so there's like protesters going on and stuff, and they're trying to protest against the shipping company, and the union, which is run by a guy called Avery, and or Avery, but with an E, and yeah, and there's like this huge muscular guy at the top who I think he's extremely racist in a way, like proper Nazi philosophy's going on here. And he's like, he tells you all about his theories about the different races of the world. I could barely take in what he was saying. Most of it was like, again, because they're talking about cultures and races and you're trying to work it out from what they are in the real world. You know, he was definitely talking about Africans and Eastern Europeans. I couldn't quite work out what the third set was, so I assumed it was Asians. But it was just like, this was just too much for me, because they're using different names, different countries, different continent names and stuff. And it's just like, yeah, you're just being a big racist old prick, aren't you, mate? You big old bastard. And yeah, so I had to... oh yeah, that was the other thing. So sometimes the game gives you things to work out in your head, right? And you get a slot which you can unlock as well. So you can unlock a lot more slots as you get your experience points. And you have to get 100 experience points to either up one of your stats, like, you know, your Inland Empire stat, or you can go unlock one of these things so that you can work out puzzles in your head. So it kind of gives you little things to work out. And one of them was this guy's racist theory. So I put it in and worked, and then I got the stat for working it out. And I went back to him and said, you're just full of shit. He's like, oh, I'm really disappointed with you, mate. But yeah, working your way around the container yard, though, you get to speak to the head of the union, who is a guy called Avery. And he's the one who actually knows who you are. So we've kind of been like skimming around it. And like I gave Kim, my partner, like a fake name, and he looked at me really strangely. And then for everyone else, I've been like just ignoring them when they asked me the question. And then, yeah, then this guy is fine, like, hi, Harry, how are you? And I love the way Avery talks. It's so, so good. Oh, Harry, 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 Harry. We're best friends, Harry. Oh, Harry, you went on a bit of a fucking bender last night, didn't you, Harry? It's just like, yes. Oh, I love this. I love this game. It's so much fun. It's just absolutely bonkers. And then, yeah, so he basically tells you, he's now basically blackmailing you to say, like, I'm going to help you get your badge back, Harry. If you could do these, like, random little tasks for me, like, here's a go to my guy over here, and he's going to give you a key, and I just want you to unlock a door. Don't go in there. I want you to unlock it. I want the guy to come back, find his house unlocked, and freak out. I don't want to go in now. I don't want to break in. I'm not going to do anything illegal. It's just unlocking a door. And I did it for him. And then the moment I came back, he's given me now something else to do. So I'm now going to stop doing these fucking tasks for Avery, because I'm just like, man, you're just manipulating me into doing really bad, shoddy shit. I'm going to try and work out what's going on, kind of circumventing having to use you, because you're just using me and I don't want to. And I loved it as well, because when I came back to him after unlocking that room, he was just like, did you go in, Harry? Did you take a look? I was like, no, I didn't. And I thought to myself, fuck, I wish I'd made a save before I fucking went back to Avery so I could actually go in and have a look what was in there. Because sometimes you go into these places and it's absolutely bonkers. And then, so what was it next? So next time, I did so much. So I went and spoke to Avery, and I went and spoke to the lady by the dock, who is from the shipping company, and she's just sitting on a boat. I assume because she might need to make a quick escape if the fucking the people start rioting, who are all protesting and like have they got a picket line? That's it, because they keep asking if you're a scab, and you're like, I'm a cop, and they're like, I'm not sure if that's any better. People in here fucking hate cops. Fucking Cornwall hates cops. Oh my god, yeah, it's really great when you look through the because you're on like a coastal area and you can look through. There's like telescopes where you can put some coins in and look out, and they're all broken apart from one. And the one that's not broken has got words written on it, and it like spells it out backwards. And it's just like, oh, it's Kuno. Kuno was here. It's just like, oh, Kuno, you're such an arsehole. Yeah, so you speak to this woman, and she starts telling you that people are trafficking drugs through, and that's kind of half the point of this, is that they're trying to. I don't know. There's just so much going on. I'm not 100% sure about what's going on in the background story yet. But I go. She told me about a lorry driver. So I went and spoke to this lorry driver that I spoke to earlier and decided I was going to get nowhere with him. And then, yeah, I started quizzing him about the drugs and the trafficking stuff. And then he gave me information just pointing at another lorry driver, basically. Which, of course, I'm sure I'm going to find this other lorry driver, start talking to him. He's going, like, no, it was that lorry driver. The one who says he's hauling apples. apples. I don't know why the apples things were such an unbelievable haulage item. Just like, yeah, people have to haul apples around the world. Otherwise, people can't eat apples. But I think for whatever reason, that finally unlocked whatever it was that I needed to do. I finally was able to go close to the body and not throw up. And I did a full, thorough examination of the body. He was obviously hung. They hung him with like this enforced steel ropes, because these ropes are like almost impenetrable because of the to hold shipping containers into place. And so they obviously just grabbed what was lying around, was kind of what they said. And then in order to get the body down, I couldn't really work out a way of doing it. And then it was just like, hey, Kim. You've got a gun. Kim's like, yes. It's just like, why don't you shoot it down? Kim lines up his shot and fucking misses. And he's like, okay, let's not do this. This is really dangerous. We've already fired off one shot and we missed. And, you know, we could hurt somebody. And Cornel's like, hey, you fucking bunch of pricks. You fucking what? You fucking missed from 2 feet. You fucking wankers. She's like, yeah, Kuno, you give Kim what for? He fucking deserves it. How can he miss from there? And it's like, Kim, can I have your gun? I'm going to have a go. He's like, I'm not sure about it, Harry. It's like, come on, Kim. I want to have a go. And, oh, no, Ingham. Yeah. Before I reveal what happened next. Yeah, I forgot about the fact that one of the other mysteries that I needed to solve was there's like a locked bin round the back of the hotel, but right by where the body is. And so we got the key from the hotel manager and then opened up, again, like I say, point and click, you know, just back and forth. Find out something, go somewhere else, get an item, come back, open it up. And then we went through the bin, had my rubber gloves, which I'd got from the gardener, and managed to sieve through all this rubbish, and we found the victim's clothes, so evidence, you know, and we started putting it in the bag. And there's also like a racist cup in there. And it's just like, I love the cup, because you show it to anyone and they used to go, oh, you're a fucking racist. And then you show it to the racist. He's like, ha, 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 funny cartoon character. It's just like, oh man, I really shouldn't have picked up this fucking cup. Everyone's getting the worst opinion of Harry. Poor old Harry. But yeah, it was just funny going through there. But part of that was we got a clipboard. And then in the clipboard, you could, if you shined it under a halogen light, which we had to turn on Kim's car to turn on his lights on the front of his car to do so, it then revealed a bunch of information, which included the fact that Harry's got 3 confirmed kills as a cop. He's served for like 10 years or something, or 18 years, and he's solved like 213 cases. And Kim's super impressed. He's like, wow, that's really impressive. That's a fucking lot of cases in such a short amount of time. So we get the idea that Harry's a really good cop in general, despite the fact he's gone on some sort of massive alcoholic amphetamine-fueled bender and completely forgotten everything about his reality. Can't remember where he lives. One of the things I put into my think about in the background and work it out is, where do I live? Which is a fun one. But yeah, you got to be careful though. Some of them give you minus points for stuff. So choose them wisely. It doesn't look like I've got enough slots to do them all. And I haven't got enough experience or whatever it is to cancel one, if that makes sense. Like you can actually turn one. You can cancel it because I can see it in the option, but it says I don't have the ability to do that yet. So maybe there's a stat I've not leveled up properly to do that. I don't know. But yeah, I managed to do that. And then that gave me some good information about the case and other cases. And so it gives you other cases to contemplate. You know, Harry's got like 5 unsolved cases that you can think about on the side. And like whether or not they're relevant or related to anything in the game, I don't know. But it's just fun. There's just so much little fun things to do. You pick up other little items in the game and then it gives you little side quests to do. Like, you know, finding my fucking gun and my badge is a side quest. There's other things. Like there's something I've got in here called the Jam Mystery. There's the smoker on the balcony. Yeah, there was a guy on the balcony who I scared off or I haven't been able to get back to yet. The guy, the corpse hanging up looks like he had some like weird armour on that he was wearing. And like, where's the rest of it? Yeah, I've got my little case to sing karaoke. Who made the call reporting the crime? I've got to pay for my hotel room and the damages. Report my bad mission. Find out who's in the box of the uniform. You know, all these weird little things. You know, who put the clothes in the trash? All these little tasks and side quests are opening up. And I really, really, really like it. The fact it's giving me these little extra things to do. And it's just little side mysteries that take your interest and you start getting around. Like I say, I've got absolutely obsessed with the fact there's this huge blank wall, which looks like it really should have been graffitied or it's been painted over. And I've got some interaction I can do with it, but my conceptualization skill isn't high enough. So I'm just like, fucking get my conceptualization skill up now. I need this. I want to find out what this fucking wall is. I'm obsessed with it. Fucking wall. This is the game of walls, okay? I want to know why does this wall highlight? And even like, I've walked past it like 3 times now, trying to get this conceptualization up enough to look at it. And fuck me. Even Kim at one point went, why do you keep staring at the wall? It's like, thanks, Kim. Brilliant. And then also, there's a, like I said, in the container yard, there's a locked container. You can push the buttons around to drop it down so you can reach it. And then it was locked. And I had a free, again, these chances things are really random. Like sometimes, I know Frost has complained about having like a really high percentage and it failing. But it's gambling, isn't it? It's the laws of averages. It's a really high percentage, but you could still be very unlucky and not get it. This door was locked, and I had a 3% chance of asking the door to unlock itself. All right? That's bonkers enough as it is, being like, hey, door, can you unlock yourself? Like, I had a whole conversation with a mailbox at one point in this game, and I patted it and went, good mailbox. It's just like, so bonkers. But yeah, I had a 3% chance. So I just thought, oh, that's so low. I'm just going to do it anyway. I don't care what's in here. And it worked. And I went inside there and there's some rich businessman who travels by container around the world because it's safer than getting in an aeroplane that's probably going to get hijacked. It's just like, it's way more anonymous. But also, this guy is so rich and powerful that light literally bends around him. Now, I don't know if I changed my stats that would have been different. Kim apparently sees him normally, but I see him as this light bending creature. And like literally the whole screen twists in the middle and then comes out the other side. It's such a, I can't, and it's like a prism as well. So all the light is like split into different colours. And it is just the weirdest thing. I fucking love it. I love the fact that I talked the lock open and then found a light-bending, all-powerful Elon Musk sitting inside a container because it's safer and more private way to travel. It's like, well, you're going to be stuck here for a long time because they fucking closed the port and it's been picketed. And there are only scabs are crossing the line. Oh, brilliant. Anyway, let's get back to getting the body down, shall we? So, yeah, that's where this segment ends, is getting the body down. And I took Kim's gun. I lined up my aim. I took a deep breath. I love this thing because it was just like, I could have shot and I think I'd like a 30% chance. And I chose some other options, like closing your right eye. Then it went up to 50-something. And then it was like, take a deep breath. And it went up to 70-something. And then it was just like, and I was like, yeah, there's a high chance. And I took it. Got the body down. And it sort of fell down on its knees, and then Harry had this like weird existential moment where it's just like, he's there on his knees, looks like he's begging for help, and then it just sort of flops over to the side, goes onto the floor. And then yeah, my next thing now is to perform a field autopsy, and then Kim will take him away. But it's just starting to get dark, And then, yeah, I realised I had a flashlight, which I nicked out of Kim's car, so I just sort of highlighted it and started looking around. And again, kind of the environment's really cool as well. Like, when you first start and you come out of the hotel in the morning, like, there's loads of snow everywhere, okay? And there's, like, it's helped because it's, like, it's preserved the footprints that we looked at and the car tracks, this cold weather. But then I noticed, like, it started raining at one point and then, like, some of the snow was gone. And then, like, as it's got towards more to the evening time, loads of the snow's gone. So I'm wondering if I might now find more stuff around that might have been in the snow that I couldn't see before. But yeah, it's just so cool. Like, the environment's changing. Beautiful, like, cell shaded areas. I had load times. I had a real issue with load times, right? Started the game, set up my character. Every time I went between a screen, it took like a minute. A solid minute and a bit before it loaded the next screen. And I was just like, maybe this is something to do with the Switch port, okay? Maybe it doesn't do this on PC, but this is killing me, okay? This is taking so long. And then my game crashed and I lost about 20 minutes of stuff. But because after that, afterwards, it was just like, I knew what I wanted to do from what I had done before. So I just quickly whizzed around and did it. I think there's one thing which I didn't do. And then when I found it later on, I had to re-go through a conversation like hours later with someone. But yeah, other than that, I was just like, lost 20 minutes of progress. Took me about 5 minutes to sort of bash through all, because bashing through the text, because I knew what was going to happen. I knew which answers I wanted to say. But yeah, I don't know what it was. It something to do with that very first load up. But since then, the loading's been fine. It takes like 10 seconds now to get through. I was just like, oh, I'm fucking glad my game crashed. There's no way I'm going to put up with that for all that time. That would have really pissed me off. But yeah, so far, this game is just bonkers. The writing is hilarious. Kuno is a joy to behold as a character. I know everyone else is going to be like, fuck you, Bill. Kuno's a bastard. Kuno's the worst. Kuno is the fucking most annoying fucking bastard thing in the world. I'm terrible at doing Scouse accents. See, Manchester, they're called Mancunians and they have a Manc accent. That makes sense. Scouse? Where's Scouse come from? But yeah, it's just, I just love it. The writing is hilarious at times. Other times it's bonkers. It's obviously going to weird places, like with this huge fucking racist guy who I haven't really got the point of what he's there for yet. I felt like he was blocking me for something, but I could never unlock enough conversation with him to find out what. It's just like, man, I did your whole racist theory thing. But then I also said he was a load of shit. So maybe I chose the wrong option there. But yeah, it's just crazy. I love the fact that there are loads of different options. It feels like there's a million ways to accomplish the tasks that you're doing. So I'm really enjoying just playing it, you know, guideless and just working out the bits that I've got. Anyway, that's been my segment one, getting the body down. Next segment is going to be interview all the witnesses, which some people have been questioning where they have to stop. And then some people are just like, oh, right. Okay, now I get it. I'm stopping here. It's just like, okay. It feels like there will be a moment or something happens and you'll be like, oh, okay, I've now know that I've interviewed all the witnesses. And this is going to be like a 3 week long segment, okay? Based on the feedback that me and JS got from a few people, we kind of worked it out being like, yeah, this is going to be a good segment to do together. But, you know, it could take people not a lot of time because it looked like some people had actually interviewed a few people before they got here. I'm pretty sure I've interviewed 2 people about stuff so far, but I'm probably going to have to go back and talk to them anyway. But yeah, interview all the witnesses by November the 19th. Okay, people? My sister's birthday. 3 week segment. So enjoy your sleuthing. But in the meantime, let's get back to everyone's feedback for segment one of Disco Elysium. Disco.
Disco Elysium.
So first up is Garasaki. Oh, Garasaki. That's it. That makes more sense. Garasaki, this game is bonkers. A brief summary is that you wake up with amnesia from falling on your face, I guess, as you were just that intoxicated the night before while jamming out to disco music. Shortly after, you find you're a cop and there has been a murder. There's been a murder in the moor. I don't know why. I should be saying that a lot more. Someone hung a person by the neck from a tree about a week ago. It smells so bad your character froze up every time you failed to check to just touch it and examine the body. While exploring, and by exploring I mean basically it feels like we're playing this very old choose-your-own-adventure textbook, but with crazy amazing writing and voice acting, especially when your necktie starts talking to you. But while exploring, you slowly talk to everyone in the city to unravel the mystery of what happened. With this section ending at taking the body down from the tree, I assume this will take a long time for some and a short while for others, while the game does seem to present a lot of choices, so each person's experience will be very different. Yep, completely agreed. Alright, I don't want to go on too long, but I want to mention one last thing. While exploring and questioning people, at one point I tried to make a deduction to show that I was a good detective to the girl at the bookshop. Oh, I haven't even been in the bookshop yet. And fouled the check. So I ended up having a nervous breakdown and the game ended. I had to reload my save from a point prior to this. This game is so funny. It really is. Alright, I have to go talk to the girl in the bookshop. I don't know why. I just haven't gone in the bookshop. There's also like a pharmacy as well, and I've just decided I'm not going in there. You know, I've had a big long look at the huge statue of a man on a horse in the fucking square where everyone's parked their cars to block the road. But I haven't walked into the shop. And here's some audio feedback from the Kazmaster.
I'm not entirely sure this game is for me. While I'm okay with the general weirdness of the game and the like oil painting-like style, including the situation the main character is in, I just can't get into the writing. It feels like the politics is overly complex, and the game just lays out complex terms and names at you just at like a million miles an hour. It just makes my brain turn off. This feeling wasn't helped when I seemingly softlocked myself when confronting the union boss. The interaction required a certain amount of morale, and I didn't have it left, so I needed medicine to complete the mission, but couldn't leave the docks to purchase any, so I had to reload from a previous save and lost like 30 minutes of progress. It turns out I could have found a bunch of medicine inside the docks, so I didn't actually softlock myself, but it was still pretty frustrating to go through. With that said, the intrigue of what's going on will keep me going. I want to solve the murder, and it seems like the union boss is someone I'm going to have to take down. I just seemingly want to see where everything goes, even if I'm not really enjoying the writing.
I agree with you to a point, Kaz. You know, I am finding all the terms and all the background politics very, very confusing. But I kind of feel like you've just got to ignore most of that. It's just like it's background noise. You know, it probably is important in some way, but it feels like just background noise. It's just like concentrating on Harry and his experiences, and the murder is kind of like the crux of this game, especially on a first playthrough. Right, Skelly. So far, I'm loving everything about this game. The world, the characters, it's all so weird and fascinating. You can spend 20 minutes talking to one character and have it be interesting the entire time. The skill and check system is engaging. The writing is incredible. It's so good. Absolutely living up to the hype. Favourite parts off the top of my head are the gigantic racist pharynologist conversation. Don't cancel me, he says in brackets. And calling the bartender and having her explain to you what led to you losing your gun. Great stuff. Oh, I haven't done that. Oh, yeah. I knew about the fact that the person who was on shift last night isn't there at the moment. And the guy, I think, did I get the number off the guy? I think so. I think I got the manager's. The manager gave me her number. But yeah, I didn't call her up. Oh, there's a telephone upstairs. Oh, fuck. Thank you, Kiss Skelly. I'm going to do that next. But actually, I need to do the autopsy, but I'll do that at some point. But yeah, good feedback. Aerobi comes in and says, okay, this game is both amazing and boring and odd sort of roller coaster. When it's down to a slog of trying to find where to go or what to do next when you start talking to people, holy cow, does it get good and funny. Some good voice acting. Unique design that I'm not hating, and it's definitely fits the game. I would like more action, as this is only a few steps above a point-and-click game, but that's my only real complaint right now. This deep dive into a psyche has been fun so far. And man, I hope I can beat the crap out of that Kuno soon. Nah, man. Kuno's a legend. Also, Kim has the patience of an angel to put up with us. He really does. He really, really does. Frost, I've fallen asleep playing this game 3 times. My character focuses on physical, oh, Frost. So I managed to punch a bunch of phones. So that was cool. I got to straight up punch Kuno in the face. Brilliant. That's so fun. Oh my god. Like I say, this game is bonkers. You can go do it so many ways. I feel like Frost is going to be missing out on a lot of the good writing stuff, but he's going to get to punch people. Caslo also replies that saying, I'm sad because this is how I should have built my character, just to punch Kuno. Oh, brilliant. And then finally, JS comes in and says, I had no idea what to expect till we started this game, and it turns out it's like nothing I've ever played. My best description of the game so far is Mass Effect, just the conversation wheel. Oh, this is way better than the Mass Effect conversation wheels. The conversations just go all over the place, especially when your little stats start interjecting. Like I say, my Inland Empire, my concentration skills, they all just pop in and give me loads of information. My encyclopedia skills really high, and it just gives me random facts about stuff. It's just like, there's like this bird sitting on the bartender's thing. And then he mentioned it to him. And then the whole encyclopedia thing came in and told me all about the bird. And then I got to, you know, snap a little bit of knowledge at the bartender. And he was impressed with me. And it's just like, yes, 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 yes. I love it. Love it. I love how bonkers it goes like that. But instead of being the most formidable force in the galaxy, you're such a mess that you can die from a heart attack from trying to get your necktie off the ceiling fan. It was JS. JS died trying to get his necktie down. Why, JS, you can't die like that! I've got to remember who that guy's name is. In a game that is so full of characters to loathe, including the protagonist, Kuno is the star of the show. Yeah! Velocity was fucking max! Velocity was fucking max! Brilliant. Oh, thank you, everyone. I'm so glad you're all playing along and experiencing this with me. This game is a game. It really is a game. There was a lot of hype about this game. People rave about it. But it was kind of like, I remember looking at the art style and being, it's a bit strange. So I never really got down to buying it. I thought maybe when it's on sale. Like, it does go on sale for like £12 or something when it's on a good sale on the Nintendo Switch store. But that's very rare. But I bought it physical off Amazon for like £22. So not terrible. But I'd say I'm really pleased that I own this game. It is freaking bonkers. Thank you, Corey. I know Corey and Scott have started playing it. Again, like I said, I know they've caught some illnesses recently and haven't been able to keep up with stuff, and they went to TwitchCon in Vegas as well. And then they met with Elise and her party. Elise from Super Switch Club flew over from Australia to America, and Scott and Corey and Eric from the Super Switch Club all met up. Yeah. They went to some sort of gaming place and did old games. It looked really fun. Oh, I wish I was there. Also, fuck living in Florida. Sounds awful. I'm only joking. I have no idea what Florida's like. Disney World, isn't it? Something like that. But yeah, disco is so much fun. So everyone, complete all the... make sure you interview all the witnesses and then come back with your feedback for November 19th. I'll be back next week to talk about Final Fantasy VI, the first segment. So, yep, that's been it for me. Again, guys, girls, ladies and gentlemen, he, they, them, they, whoever you are, we love you here at the RPG Years. We are an all-inclusive shop. And, yep, if you want to come get involved with us, come join us on the Discord. That's always the best place to chat with us. You can follow us on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at RPG Years. You can follow me at Matunica. You can also find me on Blue Sky at Matunica, something, something Blue Sky at the end, if you do so wish. And, yeah, just... lots of RPG clubs. Come join the Patreon if you want to help sponsor the show. If you want to get involved with the RPG clubs and get the exclusive Skies of Arcadia club playthrough as well, which I also need to catch up on. But yes, this has been fun, people, you know. And I've been a fucking prick. The Bill has done his RPG club stuff, and I'm going to fucking punch your face in the granny. I'm going to punch your face in the granny. What the fuck does that mean? The Bill doesn't know. The Bill is here. The Bill is a podcaster. And the Bill is going to podcast you to death. Hey, you fucking... Don't you mess around with the Bill. Don't you turn this off. I love you all. Sorry. Channeling my inner Kuno. The Kuno's off his face on amphetamines. It's brilliant. Oh, he's only 12 or something. Oh, so bad. So bad. Yet so funny. I love you all. Bye, you fucking pricks.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
@ Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.